"Music," said Lucy, as if attempting some generality. She could not complete it, and looked out absently upon Italy in the wet. The street and the river were dirty yellow, and the hills were dirty purple. Somewhere in their folds were concealed Miss Lavish and Miss Bartlett, who had chosen this afternoon to visit the Torre del Gallo.
"What about music?" said Mr. Beebe.
"Poor Charlotte will be sopped," was Lucy's reply. The expedition was typical of Miss Bartlett, who would return cold, tired, hungry, and angelic, with a ruined skirt, a pulpy Baedeker, and a tickling cough in her throat.
"Miss Lavish has led your cousin astray. She hopes to find the true Italy in the wet, I believe."
"Miss Lavish is so original," murmured Lucy. This was a stock remark, the supreme achievement of the Pensione Bertolini in the way of definition. Mr. Beebe had his doubts, but he held his peace.
"Is it true," continued Lucy in awe-struck tone, "that Miss Lavish is writing a book?"
"They do say so."
"What is it about?"
"It will be a novel," replied Mr. Beebe, "dealing with modern Italy. Let me refer you, for an account, to Miss Catherine Allen, who uses words herself more admirably than anyone I know."
"I wish Miss Lavish would tell me herself. We started such friends. But I don't think she ought to run away with Baedeker that morning in Santa Croce. Charlotte was most annoyed at finding me practically alone, and so I couldn't help being a little annoyed with Miss Lavish."
"The two ladies, at all events, have made it up."
He was interested in the sudden friendship between women so apparently dissimilar as Miss Bartlett and Miss Lavish. All his life he had loved to study maiden ladies. They were his specialty, and his profession had provided him with ample opportunities for the work. Girls like Lucy were charming to look at, but Mr. Beebe was, from rather profound reasons, somewhat chilly in his attitude towards the other sex, and preferred to be interested rather than enthralled. Lucy said again that poor Charlotte would be sopped. The Arno was rising in flood. She opened the window to inspect, and a cold blast entered the room, drawing a plaintive cry from Miss Catherine Allen, who entered at the same moment by the door.
"Oh, dear Miss Honeychurch, you will catch a chill."
She sidled towards them and sat down.
"I could hear your beautiful playing, Miss Honeychurch, though I was in my room with the door shut." "Doors shut, indeed, most necessary. No one has the least idea of privacy in this country."
Lucy answered suitably. Mr. Beebe was not able to tell the ladies of his adventure at Modena, where the chambermaid burst in upon him in his bath, exclaiming cheerfully,
"Fa niente, sono vecchia."
He contented himself with saying,
"I quite agree with you, Miss Allen. The Italians pry everywhere. They see everything, and they know what we want before we know it ourselves."
Miss Allen continued to sidle, and at last the cause was disclosed. From the chair beneath her she extracted a gunmetal cigarette case, on which were powdered in turquoise the initials E.L.
"Oh, that belongs to Lavish," said the clergyman. "A good fellow, Lavish, but I wish he'd start a pipe."
"Oh, Mr. Beebe," said Miss Allen, divided between awe and mirth. "Indeed, though it is dreadful for her to smoke, it is not quite as dreadful as you suppose. She took to it, practically in despair, after her life's work was carried away in a landslip."
"What was that?" asked Lucy.
"It was a novel, and, from what I can gather, not a very nice novel. Anyhow, she left it almost finished in the grotto of the Calvary at the Cappuccini Hotel at Amalfi, while she went for a little ink. Meanwhile, the grotto fell roaring onto the beach, and the saddest thing of all is that she cannot remember what she has written. The poor thing was very ill after it, and so got tempted into cigarettes. It is a great secret, but I am glad to say that she's writing another novel. First she tried Perugia for an inspiration, and then she came here. And so cheerful through it all. I cannot help thinking that there is something to admire in everyone, even if you do not approve of them."